So I would like for you to consider something for me. I would like for you to strongly consider something for me. And that is one of the convictions that I have, and it was confirmed on Thursday night when someone came in and mentioned it to me. But one of the convictions that I have is that we should be a Bible-based church, that the Bible has to be our guide. And you cannot be a Bible-based church if you don't carry your Bible around. And I know a lot of times we carry them in our smart devices, which is you got your Bible. I'm not gonna so, but I would like for us to be just Bible-centered. And so we make notes and outlines for every congregant here. We want for you guys to have that. I think you learn better when we provide that for you. But don't let that take the place of your Bible, okay? So I want you to consider just bringing your Bible, or at least your smart device, that you're going to have your Bible there. And then open it up, because if we go through something, there may be something that stood out to you, and you have your outline that some of you maybe keep your outlines and you go back to them. But if you have your Bible, when you're reading it, you're going to remember that, especially if you mark it. And you can highlight it. How many of you are highlighters in here? You highlight your Bibles. How many of you write things in your Bibles? Yeah, you will go to heaven if you write things in your Bible. But your commentary does not negate the Word of God. Just want you to know that. Your commentary. And that's what happens with people with commentaries. They'll say, well, this is what my commentary said. Well, that's not the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God, right? And so just for you to know that. So we've been in this series of experiencing joy and going through the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. It's called Philippians. And in that letter, we've been seeing how Paul is continuously emphasizing that we should be living in the joy of the Lord. And we have kind of not only by experience, but just by seeing it in the Word, that you have to be intentional about joy, because life has a lot of circumstances that we face. Every week, there's something that happens. I mean, just kicking off a series like this, boom, you're hit with all kinds of different things. And so we're seeing that your joy is not produced by your circumstances. It's produced by the one that's over the circumstance. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I want to talk to you this morning about, what are you filling your life with? What are you filling yourself with? I want you to fill in the blank real quick. Has anyone said this to you, or maybe you've thought it? You are full of blank. Keep it G. I've never had a response like that in my introduction. Yeah, you're full of something. We're all filled with something in life. In the gospel narrative, there was a lady by the name of Martha, and she had a sister named Mary, and they were very close to Jesus. And Martha was filled with a lot, and Mary was filled with one thing. And we see in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10, verse 40, that Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. And that kind of can go to every aspect of our lives. We all have big things that we're preparing throughout the week, right? She was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing, and she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work?" And don't tell me that you haven't been here in one place in your life or another. Hey, I'm doing everything. I am just doing so much, and nobody cares. God, do you care? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. How many of you are detail-oriented? How many of you are OCD in here? You're OCD, you just, everything has to fit into place. In fact, you don't let anyone do anything because they're not going to do it better than you, right? So Martha is saying, you know, I'm very upset about this. And the Lord said, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. So there's only one thing that's worth you being filled with. Because you're either going to be filled with worry or anxiety. Shauna mentioned some of the prayer cards. And some of the prayer cards that have not been put in, I think there's people that are worrying and anxious, right? There's only one thing that worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it's not going to be taken away from her. I think that's powerful, that when you discover that the one thing that you need to be filled with is Jesus, and guess what? God is not going to take Jesus from you. And so there's something that we need to think about in our life. What are you worried about? What's the one thing that has happened maybe this week or last week that just filled your mind and your heart and your life with anxiety, with worry? Sometimes it's people. Of course, not this service, maybe the other one, right? No, sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's finances. Sometimes it's, your present state, where you're at in your life. Maybe it's even a job. You know, I went and played pickleball this past week, you know, and I have not played in like 3 weeks, and you could tell. And so Shauna and I were playing, and can I confess something to you? I lost every single game out there, and my mind was filled with, I cannot believe I lost every game. So we're all filled with something, right? And so we get to this place, and I think that we need to fill ourselves with what matters. We need to fill ourselves with what matters. Now we're going to Paul's letter to the Philippians. And we are at the pinnacle of this letter. He's kind of taken us to this point, and he's giving us practical items. He gave us doctrinal important items to root us in Christ, right? He wrote to the saints, not because of what they had done, but because of what Jesus had done for them. Amen? Our position is we're in Christ, so we're holy ones. Amen? You might not act holy all the time, but you are holy if you trust in Jesus, because the Holy Spirit's in you, right? So he gave us all the doctrinal truth. Now he gets to the practical things. And in chapter 4, we started out with Syntyche and Euodia and these sisters in Christ that were at odds with each other. And he says, I want you guys to begin to help them to live in harmony. The church should be a place where you make peace with one another. If we can't make peace with each other and we're the church, how in the world is the world going to have peace? How can we bring that to someone when they don't even have God? We have God, and so he talked about that. Now we get to verse 4, and then he says, always be full of joy in the Lord, or rejoice in the Lord is what the literal says. And then it says, and again I say rejoice. The New Living Translation says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice! Exclamation point. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. You're always looking for the best interest in other people. You're always trying to lift people up. Be considerate to people. And then he goes on and he says, remember, the Lord is coming soon. That speaks volumes to me, because it tells me that if I live my life thinking Jesus could come today, I'm not going to be a rude person to people, because I don't want Jesus to find me in that rudeness. I'm going to forgive people because I don't want Jesus to find me with unforgiveness. He could come today. He's going to come like a thief in the night. And we should be ready. We should not be holding on to resentment. We should not be inconsiderate. Amen? We should always be thinking about others. And then in verse 6, he said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Notice what it says, need. It doesn't say want. It says tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. So how many of us are living in Christ Jesus? Or how many of us come to church on Sunday and you have Jesus for 30 minutes? Or do you take him home with you? And you take him to work with you. You allow for him. You're in Christ. He's in you. And you're walking this wonderful reality out. And then in verse 4, here's another pinnacle. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. In other words, our thoughts can be broken when we don't do this. Right? Fix your thoughts. Begin to align your thoughts with what? On what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me. In other words, Paul is saying, I lived it out. I'm living it. I'm just not lipping it. I'm living it. How many of you think that's important? That we should be an example to people, that we should be walking in the attributes of God. And the way that you do it is by following this practice that Paul is talking about. Then the God of peace will be with you because you're filled with him. You're not filled with worry and anxiety like Martha was, right? Martha was filled with anxiety, with worry, all the details of life. And how many of us have details in our life? Do you believe that God is bigger than your details? You believe that God has equipped you to make a difference for his glory every day. When you get up out of bed every morning, you can get up and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for me being able to function the way that I function. I trust you in whatever you have before me. I trust you that I can be your mouth. I trust you that I can be your hands. I trust you that I can be your feet. And we begin to manifest that in the lives of other people. That'll bring peace. That'll bring joy instead of us majoring on our details. Everything we have going on. So I got some considerations for you as we think about filling ourselves with what matters. The first thing is learn to embrace the fullness of God's joy in every circumstance. I say learn because it's not a natural thing. It's supernatural. The joy of the Lord in every circumstance is not natural. That's not what we default to. What we default to is worry. What we default to in the natural is anxiety. What we default to in the natural is animosity, hostility. You know, just think about the push button subjects. Someone says something and you just get heated. You get upset. You think about a person, you think about a situation, and things begin to happen. So Paul says, always be full of joy in the Lord. And I'm going to say it again, rejoice. But we know that living in fullness of God's joy, we know that it's important because the Apostle Paul said it twice. You ever done that with someone? You want to reiterate something important and you say it twice? My wife, to me, she sometimes says it three times. Did you hear me? You're nodding your head, yes, but did you hear me? And let's just think context. Let's think contextually. This is right after he'd just written to Euodia and Syntyche for them to get along and for the church to help them to reconcile. Think about not getting along with people. Does it steal your joy? And people that don't get along with each other that are in your circle, does that steal your joy? When they talk to you about they're not getting along with someone and that's all you hear, and they're taking all this real estate in their head, and it begins to take the real estate in your head. And you have to learn. You have to learn to deal with circumstances. You have to learn to deal with relationships. You have to learn to choose joy. You have to learn it because it's not natural. It's supernatural. Amen? And so you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest. And this is why it's so important for the Word of God to be in your heart. For it to begin to produce inside of you what's going to come outside of you. So for you to read this or hear it on Sunday morning for 15, 20, 35 minutes is not enough. I really believe that's why Paul says rejoice. And again, I say rejoice because once is not enough sometimes. In those big things in our life, once is not enough. There's repetition. There's you got to continually grow as you're learning these things. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the paraphrase, the Message paraphrase, he put it like this. He said, celebrate God all day. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. That means be excited about him. How many of you are excited about Jesus? He should be the greatest excitement we have. If I'm excited about Jesus continuously, then all the other things are so much smaller. They're so much more minute than my relationship with him. He says, really revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side. When you get to know people, they should know that God is with you and God is in you and you're with God. Because why? Because you're meeting their needs. You're loving people. That's what the church is all about. Working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Any minute. Now, think with me, if you have a problem with someone or you have a problem in a circumstance right now, think with me. That problem, number one, is not bigger than Jesus Christ. That's number one. We settled that. But you don't want to carry that problem when the Lord comes. You don't want to be in that problem. You want to do everything you can to resolve the conflict in your life. Amen? That's why confession is so important. When it says, confess your sins one to another so that you will be what? Healed. Let this internal toxicity out. Especially with a reminder that the Lord is near. And I don't know about you, but me, I'm always saying, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord. Got so much heaviness. My son-in-law, who's on... He was a state trooper in New Mexico, and now he's on the SWAT, full-time SWAT. And they had a recent gang war that happened in the city that they're in. And there was like 11 or 12 people shot and 3 people killed. And so this week, after he was coaching his son, my grandson, in baseball, then he had to go and he got called out to go and arrest these 4 individuals that did the shooting in this mass shooting. And the thing, circumstances are continuous. And you've got to choose not to carry that. You need to choose not to carry it and always be thinking, Lord, you're going to come. And if you come today, I don't want to be carrying anger. I don't want to be carrying resentment. I don't want to be at odds with anyone. I'm going to speak something to you right now. There's someone that may be in here today that you are at odds with somebody. You need to settle it today. Today. If you can't be in a gathering with someone, especially if they're a man of God, a woman of God, you can't be in a gathering and love each other, there's something wrong internally. And people need to know that you're a child of God, that you're expecting Jesus to come back, right? Here's a second consideration. Learn the practice of worrying less, praying more, and choosing to be thankful in all things. In all things. I say learn the practice because you've got to practice. Practice makes perfect. I do better with some items because I've had to practice difficult items in my life. I had to practice them. You know, we had a situation where worry? Are you kidding me? We had a situation with one of our adult children, you know, that they went through a very difficult time. And I'm telling you that worry? It was waiting for me when I got out of bed. It was with me at night. I had to practice to learn how not to worry. It's easy for us to say, don't worry. I could even sing it to you. Don't worry, be happy, right? I can sing it to you. And some of you are saying, whatever, you're not in my shoes, right? You're not in my shoes. You're not walking my problem. But the reality is that the Apostle Paul said, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. And we have to learn the practice of that. Brother Lawrence was a monk and back in the like 1700s, and he wrote this little book. And he wasn't like this great orator and this person of prominence that people were looking at. He was just this monk that would do all the ordinary chores, all the things that people didn't want to do. But what he did is that he began to practice the presence of God in every little thing that he did. Imagine that. In everything that you do, if you were to learn to practice the presence of God so that you recognize God in every situation. How many of you can say with certainty that you can recognize when the presence of God is in your midst? Or hearing the voice of Jesus. Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. How many of you say you're doing a task, you're going into town? How many of you say, the Lord just spoke to me? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. How many of you, you're never going to hear the voice of Jesus if you don't open up your Bible? If you don't open up your Bible, you'll never hear the voice of Jesus, but you got all kinds of different voices coming at you. All kinds of different noise. You have to learn the practice of hearing the voice of God. You have to learn the practice of practicing the presence of God in your life. I kind of mentioned some of the things that I've gone through, and we internalize those things because I've gone through them. So my wife and I, we went through them, but sometimes I have to internalize them and say, I went through them. And my meter, my worry meter, I can call it Armstrong because it's been stretched. And so this meter has been stretched, but every time that it gets stretched, when I get through it, I find the faithfulness of God on the other side. I find that he's there with me, that he's not going to leave me. Again, I'm gonna go to the Message paraphrase. I just like the way it's worded. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Now, let me say something that's important. I pray a lot more when difficult things are in my life. How about you? When your kids are not doing well, when your finances are not well. Anyone ever said a prayer like, Lord, I can't take anymore? Lord, I need a miracle. So worry produces, he said, do not fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. I love this. Before you know it, as you begin to practice these things, you're going to have a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ, I love this, Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. In other words, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. When you pray, the Lord is saying, okay, now you've come to me, let me come to you. Because right now you're carrying all this worry, you're carrying all these things are at the center of your life, all these details are at the center of your life, but instead of you coming to me, you got to replace those with me. That's what Jesus is telling us. Amen? So let's just list those items. Worry less. Worry less. Now, this is important right here. Worry less, because the first thing I'll say to the Apostle Paul is, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you live in my shoes, Paul? As Paul's writing this. But guess what? Paul didn't live in my shoes, but he lived in his shoes. And when they put him in prison because he was preaching the gospel, guess what he did? He sang praises with Silas. Are you with me? So Paul was not saying something that he wasn't living. He was writing Philippians from prison. He understood worry. And so I have to worry less. I've got to choose to worry less. I need to pray more. I need to pray more. I put this down. I think it's important for me to say. I've learned that I pray more when hard things are happening in my life. I was going to say bad things because that's what came to my mind as I'm jotting this sermon together. I was going to say, you know, when bad things happen. But can I tell you, when Jesus is in your life, there's never a bad thing. There's never a bad thing when Jesus is in your life. There's difficult things, but that must mean that God wants me to get stronger. God must want me to get stronger. Because I'll never get stronger with physical weights until I lift more. And then I get sore, right? Where I used to get sore when I used to lift weights. You get sore because your muscles are tearing and you're producing bigger, stronger muscles. It's like that in your life. Sometimes we have hard things happen that when you come out from there, you will be stronger. You pray more. Do you think Jesus doesn't understand this? Gethsemane? The Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if this chalice, if this cup can be taken from me, please take it. Oh no, Father, not my will, but your will be done. It's somehow in these extreme circumstances, there's a peace that's produced by God himself that goes beyond human logic. You'll never know the peace of God in difficult things if you've never gone through difficult things. I'm talking to someone today. The Lord is speaking to someone today that you will never know peace, supernatural peace, until you know big, big problems in your life. And so we begin to thank God in all things. We begin to thank God in all things. With my kids and my grandkids, and there's some kids here at the church that I throw the football with, and I throw a ball with because I just love throwing the ball. But my kids know this. Now they're adults, and my grandkids know this. We never end and go inside on a miss. We always end on a make. We always end on a catch. Whatever problem that you're going through, don't ever end in a despair. Always end with a thank you, Lord. If you can talk, say, thank you, Lord, that I can talk. Thank you, Lord, that I can pray. If you can walk, say, thank you, Lord, that I can walk. Lord, thank you. If you lost a finger, you say, thank you, Lord, that I didn't lose the other nine. If you get your hand crushed, like I did, and your wrist will not go back anymore because it was your hand was crushed, and this one does, you say, thank you, Lord, that this wrist goes back. And thank you, Lord, that I can still hit somebody. Just kidding, but I could. You didn't even see that coming, huh? I was so... You know, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. I love that. Because of the joy that was awaiting him, he endured the cross. Now I'm going to end with this. We need to learn to focus on what matters for God's joy to abound. Paul said, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable and what is right and what is pure and lovely and admirable. You need to fix your thoughts. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. How many times do we fix our thoughts on our problems, on our broken relationships, and just think and think and rethink? And how many times do you think that the negativity, the toxicity is more true than the positivity that you can have in Jesus Christ? How many of you fix your thoughts on all of these things and they're stealing the joy that God has for you? So there's these 3D images. You guys have probably seen them, right? There's these 3D images. And in these 3D images, you know, you fix your eyes on something. You begin to look at something. And I found this 3D image, and it's got like four dots or something like that. And these images, you look at these four dots, and you just fix your eyes on them. You fix your gaze on them. And then you come away after about 30, 40, 60 seconds. You close your eyes, and when you open those eyes, you see a figure. And it teaches us something. It teaches us that sometimes our eyes, our thoughts, are fixed on things that are going to take the focus off of Jesus. Today, can you put that up, please, Christy, if you don't mind? You see those four dots in the middle of what looks like a heart and a spade? And some of you are fixing your eyes on those four dots. Some of you are not. Because I know people, I know people, like God knows people. Some people will not look at what they should be looking at because they choose not to. But then there are some people that say, I'm going to fix my eyes on something that's going to bring what matters in my life. And as you look at this 3D artwork, and you close your eyes. And Jesus becomes visible. That's exactly how it is in life. That's why I tell you this is the most important thing you could ever have. This word of God is the word of truth. And it tells me that Jesus won, and because he won, you will win. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for being present. We thank you for every aspect of this service, Lord. And I just pray that this joy that you talk about, that we can not only grow in it, but that we could learn it. And that we can abound in the peace that surpasses human understanding. I pray for any person in here that came in with heaviness, that they will leave here today with the freedom of Jesus and the peace of Christ. We pray this in his name, and everyone said amen and amen.
Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior.
Service. Go out and have a wonderful week.